The New Testament passage is also concerned with the kingdom. Acts chapter 1. I think the page number is correct, 1092. It's Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The first chapter of Acts on page 1092. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The next line there is not actually part of the original Bible in the dark lettering, so I won't read that. Verse 12, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I'm the Assistant Minister of the Church. Please keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at this passage. Before we look at it, let me pray. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. And thank you for giving us your Son to establish your kingdom. Thank you that your kingdom is expanding all around the world. Thank you that you have delivered us as well from the kingdom of darkness and brought us under the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even today, we pray that you would mightily work in us from heaven. You would open our eyes to see the truths of the gospel, shine the light of the truth in our hearts, that we might rejoice in the truths about your Son and about your kingdom. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So why do people get involved in church? If you've asked this question to people in your school, in workplace, or in your neighborhood, what would they say? Now, you might hear answers like this. Some people are raised in a Church of England church and remain involved because it feels familiar and is closely tied to their family identity. Others might say the churches provide a built-in community. People meet regularly, support one another, and share common values. This can be especially appealing to someone who feels isolated or is going through a significant life change. Some might simply say that certain people are religious types who naturally get involved while others are not. Others might point to more practical reasons for joining a church community. They may say that churches offer opportunities to develop skills such as public speaking, playing music instruments, or working with children and young people. Those who enjoy these activities or want to gain experience in these areas would be drawn to get involved. However, many people would not immediately think about Jesus and the role he plays in bringing people into the church and getting them involved in his work in this world. Yet in today's Bible passage, we see a group of early church members who commit themselves to prayer and to working together because of Jesus. We see in this passage, Jesus has risen from the dead, but he's also going to ascend into heaven. And this Jesus' ascension into heaven has transformed the way his followers became involved in church communities. We'll look at today's Bible passage based on two headings. Behold, Jesus truly ascended. And secondly, it'll be behold, Jesus active in this world. So firstly, behold, Jesus has ascended. So let me start reading from verse 1 onwards in Acts chapter 1. It says, in my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he has taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then he gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So this happened when Jesus had an early group of followers. The early group of followers were with Jesus for 3.5 years in person. Jesus' death would have come as a great shock. He was crucified on a cross and put to death. But then they would have been thrilled to see him alive again when he came back alive 3 days after death. Then we see in this passage, he was alive with his early followers for 40 days. It would have been a great joy seeing the risen master teach them, and they're getting to learn from him. But now Jesus' ascension is also mentioned in this passage. We see Jesus then ascended into heaven. This would have come as a thing of deep sadness to the early followers. All they could do was stand there and look at the sky, coming to terms with the fact that they would not see the person they love the most anymore. Those who are from another country, those who have our family members we love, live far away from us, would understand that feeling. On the one hand, you're here, but you hope you are there with your loved ones in another place. It's the same for all Christians. The ascension of Jesus leaves a Christian with a longing to be where Jesus is. That's why we see in this passage, as Jesus was taken up into heaven, all that the early followers could do is just stand there looking into the sky, looking at the one they love the most go away. But at the same time, what we see is an assurance from the angels that Jesus would again come back in person, in flesh, just the way he was taken up. He will come back in bodily form, in the same way he was seen on that day with the early apostles. He had been taken away to heaven. So you can see that in verse 10 onwards, the early followers were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And these angels said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the very first vision that the followers had that propelled them into ministry for Jesus. And this was vital for the first century, and this is vital for the churches today. The Bible teaching is that Jesus has ascended to be the King above all rulers and authorities in this world. And Jesus will come back to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in this Jesus? You know, for Christians, what we believe about Jesus is more important than what we get to do in churches. The thing is, if you don't believe in this Jesus and all that he has revealed, then we don't look to him for strength to do all that he calls us to do as his followers. But that is exactly what Jesus calls his early followers to do, which we'll see under our next heading. Behold, Jesus is active in this world. So on the one hand, Jesus has ascended into heaven, but he has not stopped carrying out his work in this world. When Jesus lived in this world, he ministered for 3.5 years. He revealed things about God. He called people for repentance. He welcomed people who repented of their wrongdoing to belong to his kingdom. He taught his followers all they need to believe about God and Jesus. Now, after his ascension, Jesus was not leaving all that he is doing into human hands. Jesus still had plans to carry out his work in this world through the Holy Spirit. Jesus welcomed his followers to wait on him to join in what he could be doing in this world. Today's talk is just an introductory talk in a series of talks that will follow from the book of Acts. And if you have got the email from the vicar on Friday, the book of Acts, the second book written by Luke. In the past few weeks, we as a church looked at the book of Luke. The gospel according to Luke starts with a message to a man called Theophilus. Luke wrote his book for Theophilus. He wrote about the things that were fulfilled about Jesus, and for Theophilus to have a certainty about what was taught about Jesus. And if you look down at the book of Acts, if you look down at verse 1, it says, "In my former book," that's the book of Luke, gospel, he mentions the same name, Theophilus, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do." So in the first book of Luke, he wrote about all that Jesus began to do. It was just the beginning of Jesus' acts. And in Luke's second book, in the book of Acts, that we're going to look in the coming weeks, we will look at what Jesus is going to continue to do in this world. And so if you also look down at, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verses from 47 onwards. It's in Church Bibles 1062. So the end of the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 onwards. Jesus told to his followers, this is what is written in chapter 24, verse 46. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witness to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So in the book of Luke, we saw that Jesus has suffered and died, but he also has risen up from the dead. But now, in the book of Acts, we will see that Jesus is the one who is going to empower his followers, and he's going to send the message of repentance into all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And this is what we're going to see in the book of Acts, how the risen Lord who has gone into heaven is still going to be active from there. He is going to send his Holy Spirit upon those who wait on him, and he's going to empower them to send the word across to all nations. He is going to be an all-conquering king. He is going to bring people into his kingdom from all nations, tongue, and tribe. But he's going to do it with those who are going to wait on him. So the followers of Jesus are not called to look deep within, like the modern culture calls us to do. Jesus didn't say, you got to get to know yourself and be willing to express yourself in church communities. No, he didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, you're the most talented bunch in the world. I'm the best scout in the world. I scouted the best talents and picked the best among the best. You should be proud of yourself. Just do it. Get the job done. I'm leaving everything up to you to do. The whole world needs to hear the good news. Go ahead and do it. He didn't say that. Even though the job is urgent, Jesus called his first followers to wait on him. It was because Jesus is the one who is primarily driving the project of taking the message of repentance to all nations. So the first call for the early followers of Jesus is to wait on Jesus and to be empowered by him. So we see that in verse 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things we saw in the book of Luke. John said he's going to baptize with water. There will be someone a lot greater than him who will come after him, who will be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit. And now here we see Jesus is saying, I'm going to ascend into heaven, but from there I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on you, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's the first thing Jesus wanted his followers to wait upon him, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see from verse 12 onwards, after Jesus was ascended into heaven, the early followers returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, and those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So that's the first thing the followers of Jesus did, is to wait on Jesus to empower them. So that's the first thing we as churchgoers, as Christians, believe, that we still need Jesus. Church is the only institution in the world that is not run by humans alone. Church is divinely intertwined with what humans do in this world. We still need Jesus. We still depend on Jesus to carry out the mission that he is calling us to do. And what is the mission that he calls us to do? We see he says he will use us as his witness. So if you see verse 6 onwards, the early followers knew that Jesus is going to be taken away from them. So they asked this question, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? So their question is, are you going to come back, rule over all nations, put an end to death and all evil? Jesus didn't really promise anything there. He says, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But all he says is, you will receive power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this is the promise that Jesus says, if you wait on him, he will empower us to be his witness. He is doing something in this world. It is not because a denomination is behind us that we are able to witness for Jesus. It is because Jesus himself is behind us. We are able to witness for Jesus and carry out the mission Jesus has called us to do. And as Christians, we want to be active, to be involved in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our place of study or workplace, in church communities. We want to be involved as witness to who Jesus is and how we need to respond to him. But the way we go about is by waiting on him to empower us and to look to him to involve us in his mission, to take the word into all nations, as the early followers did. And some of the questions to reflect on from this passage are, has the ascension of Jesus to heaven encouraged you to be involved in his service? And are you aware of the dependence on Jesus to be involved in Jesus' mission? And I hope as we look at this series, we will get a fresher vision of the ascended Lord, our conquering Lord, who is conquering all nations, tongues, and tribe. And may we all also have a fresher vision to rely on Jesus to be actively involved in the work he is doing in this world. Let me pray as we close. Father God, we thank you that your Son has ascended on high. Thank you, he's an all-conquering Lord who is going to rule over all tongues and tribes. Thank you that you are empowering us to do the work of your Son in this world. Continue to empower us as a church to be your witness. Continue to make us a salt and light in Dagenham. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.